Ladies and gentlemen, last night, yours truly and the other two gentlemen sitting with me went to see Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker. We saw it. We didn't sit together, but we got in the car together after. And boy,
it was hard.
We had emotions. Ooh. I was ready to join the dark side, but none of us said a word. None of us said a
thing. That's not true.
And
at
I
all.
Still don't really know what these guys thought.
That's not true.
They we said like three words.
Okay, I know your impressions.
You saw my reaction.
I saw it. Okay, but I don't know why
it
you have the impressions.
It was a physical reaction. Okay, should we tell people? Should we do like a bit of a non-spoilers first?
I think we should go the way we always go. Give me your rating for this movie out of 10. Riley.
Two.
A 2 out of 10.
Wow.
Two.
Okay. David?
I gave it a 4.7.
Wow.
Still on the bad side. Not even a five, a neutral five.
No, this is a bad movie.
Wow.
It is a bad movie.
Drum roll.
What you got?
Oh, are you guys not doing your slogans? To go
oh, my slogan. I got a slogan. Star Wars... The Rise of Skywalker, 4.7, a movie that moved me even less than the Interact ads that play before the film.
You got one?
I don't.
I got one.
The Rise of Skywalker. The Last Jedi was preparing me for this shitstorm. This episode cut the cord.
Okay. I'm going to go with The Rise of Skywalker, a presence I've not felt since... I loved this movie. 8 out of 10.
Get
the best Star Wars that Disney has made.
Why do you have to be such a troll? Dude?
I'm not trolling you.
You're
sitting there like, I'm not. I loved it. I actually loved it.
No.
I'm not effing with you,
James.
Seriously, okay.
Have you seen a movie before?
I was so surprised when you guys came in the car and were like, "Whoa!" David was like, "Oh man, I have to see this movie again with my girlfriend this weekend. I'm just done."
James.
I'm like, really?
James, how, what? How dare you, first of all?
Hey, I went in skeptical, okay? I was ready to hate this movie. I didn't really.
I still don't believe you.
I didn't, let me tell you.
Okay.
I went in, I'm sitting there, the first act, like the first 45 minutes of this movie, I'm like, it was rough. The beginning, the pacing sucks. Mm-hmm. It's all over the place.
Mm. At the beginning?
Yeah, at the beginning. It's all over the place.
Only in the beginning?
Let me go.
Okay.
The pacing's weird. They're switching back and forth. Like, Kylo Ren is ripping around to Planet Sith and...
Planet Sith?
It's all like...
Hexagol.
No, Hexagon.
Hexagon.
Planet Hexagon.
Hexagol.
Senegal. It's Hexagon. Get it right, James. You're not even a Star Wars
Ex-Seagull.
Fan.
Hexagol. No, I'm the everyman.
Hexagol.
Oh no! I can't believe you love this.
They're ripping around the pacing. Yep. Yep, keep going.
Then there's all this ham-fisted retconning. Like J.J. Abrams is trying to make The Last Jedi not hurt so bad. You know, yeah. They're doing things like, okay, you know that guy hurts. Snoke? He was just like a really strong clone that I made. Never mind. He was grown in a vat. There's a bunch more of them than test tubes over here. That was kind of weird. And things like, oh, remember how Kylo said that your parents were nobodies? Well, he wasn't wrong. But...
This movie was a concerted effort to ham-fistedly reverse all of the decisions made in The Last Jedi.
Yep.
But isn't that what you wanted?
No.
So many people hated The Last Jedi.
Listen. Okay, I should make this clear right off the top. I did not like The Last Jedi, okay? But the reason that I didn't like it wasn't because, like, it was a horrible film. I didn't like it because it spat in the face of a lot of like canon and lore that had come before, and it just kind of like broke the universe in a bunch of ways. But as I've said in the previous podcast, the movie as a movie, if you completely remove it from the Star Wars universe, it's a good movie. It's a fine movie. It's not amazing, but it's fine.
Especially if they get rid of that Casino Planet stuff. What's that planet
it
called
didn't
again?
Bother Canto
Bight.
Canto Bight.
It didn't bother me that much. But yeah, and so. I guess you know what the thing is that The Last Jedi made me believe that the next Star Wars movie could be good, because I was like, oh, The Last Jedi was a good movie. It just got the canon wrong. So all they need to do is make another good movie and get the canon right. But they didn't. They made a bad movie and got the canon sort of right.
We should tell our listeners that this is not our first Star Wars podcast. A couple days ago, we did a pre-show. So if you want more background on who we are as fans, which one of us is the nerdiest? Who gives the least crap about Star Wars? and how we stood before this movie, considering the steaming pile that was The Last Jedi.
No!
Depending on who you ask.
David,
then you should
the
check
Last
out
Jedi.
That podcast. You check it out.
Yeah, I was fully expecting them to do all that retconning and like try and get it in, but I didn't think they were going to do it so poorly.
I know!
And like it's like they went through like literally a list, and they're like, okay, how can we fix this? How can we do this? Like, oh, we didn't see Leia get all this training. We're upset that she has force powers that we don't understand. And it's like, well, we got to put a 5-minute training montage on scene and do this.
It's just unnecessary. Curses. There was so much that was unnecessary.
Yeah.
We didn't need to know that Leia trained like that looked like it was right after the Return of the Jedi when they like de-aged their faces.
Yep.
And it's like, wait, you're telling me that like Luke and Leia were training in the forest with these blast helmets on so they couldn't see, and Leia was just as much of a Jedi as Luke was?
Yeah.
Like, but now she's just like, man, I'm not.
Well, that kind of leads me to asking, what do you guys think of how they handle Carrie Fisher?
Okay.
Oh, it seems so weird.
So it seems like in this movie, because the actor Carrie Fisher died after filming. No, they started filming this movie, but then she died.
All the scenes she's in are cut footage from The Force Awakens.
From The Force Awakens?
Yes.
Okay. From The Last Jedi?
Nope, Force Awakens. Oh, okay. They cut it and like.
Because she died after Last Jedi came out.
Yeah. And so they removed her from that and put her in these. I think it looks good. I actually didn't know that until after. I was looking it up. And I think it's actually...
Or hold on. I have questions. So
she didn't die after Last Jedi came out. She died after they had finished filming Last Jedi, but not before they had started Rise of Skywalker. Yep. Sorry, go ahead.
Right. So when The Last Jedi came out, when it launched in theaters, she was passed away.
Yes.
But they
Yes.
And they filmed her in that movie. She's in that movie.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But you're saying the scenes they used in this movie are from Force Awakens?
Yes, they're cut scenes from The Force Awakens.
Okay, and so when she's at the base in this movie... That's all just old footage. And
I'm not sure if they remove her and put her in a new place or if they use the same location from before. I think that they removed her digitally and added her to this new location, this new base.
Okay.
Yeah.
For that reason, it's not like they, other than the scene you talked about, which is a flashback to when they're way younger, they didn't like de-age her. There's no fake Carrie Fisher faces.
Although I feel like I definitely noticed, I mean, I don't think it was de-aging, but like the first time we see her when she's talking to Rey in the training sequence, I'm like, oh, there's some weird stuff going on her face. But that was probably just the...
That's just her face,
right? Yeah.
That's just how her face looks.
Yeah.
But then when there's a scene later on... Oh, by the way, spoilers, duh.
Yeah.
This is a spoiler podcast.
Well, that's why I asked. I feel like there might be some... whatever, too late.
It is too late, but
yeah.
If you were wondering... All spoilers all the time on this podcast, every episode.
Okay,
so she dies.
Yeah.
When she dies, it's all silhouette-y.
Yep.
I assume that's new footage.
That's not her.
That's not her.
That's someone else. They just got like a similar profile and got that.
You know what?
Yeah.
I feel like... What? Sorry, go ahead.
I'm wondering why... How did she die? Is it... It's inexplicable, right?
She's weak, and then she uses the last of her life force, of her limited quantity of life force.
I thought you meant Carrie Fisher. I was about to explain.
No, Leia.
She used her limited amount of life force that was left to reach out to Ben one last time, and in like the same way that Luke Skywalker fades into the Force at the end of Last Jedi because he's lost all his strength. She loses her strength and kind of just like fades into the Force.
She does, but she does it way later.
Yeah, so I'm guessing that like she maybe went into some sort of stasis mode in order to have the strength to reach out to Ben like that. And then once Ben died, then she let go also.
I don't know that.
And died for the
same
reason.
Honestly, they just wanted a single camera shot showing both Ben and Leia becoming Force ghosts or whatever you call those things. They want to do that in one shot and have it in one moment in the movie. So now Riley's here trying to make up a theory of why her. Usually you just disappear right then and there. Like Obi-Wan.
She wasn't dead when they covered her with the blanket first.
Oh, yeah. She was dead.
No, she was.
Everybody
just
mourned her.
Yeah, but they didn't know. She was just in stasis and she was going to die. So they effectively.
This is according to you?
Huh?
According to you right now. That's
well,
not
this
in the
is
movie.
My, this is my theory.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm telling you that you're making this theory.
Yeah, I'm making it up.
Because of like practical movie reasons where they just wanted to have one shot.
Sure.
Okay.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying that there's obviously going to be some sort of canon explanation for it, and that's my guess as to the canon explanation.
Okay.
The canon explanation isn't going to be because they wanted the shot, James. There are rules in Star Wars.
Going back to the de-aging when they show the flashback, not great. The faces.
Yeah. It's a little
overall,
bit
CG. This franchise does not have the world class CG. in my opinion. There's a lot of VFX where I'm like, that sticks out. That looks fake.
Pretty unconvincing.
This one, and this movie is obsessed with cramming as much CG as possible into every frame. Like, every scene is extended by CG. There's always, like, a moving CG element that caught my eye. Like, I think the worst CG in the entire Star Wars, current Star Wars series, is when you first see Rey and she's meditating floating, and there are these rocks that are spinning around her.
In this one,
it looks like it's 2002. Like, there's something wrong with emotion. Like, there's no motion blur. Like, it just seems so CG, and it totally fails
to be fake.
How about that quicksand?
That was okay.
That quicksand looked bad to me, that black quicksand.
Oh, really? Oh, that one didn't bother
me.
Is that not largely practical effects?
It looked pretty bad to me.
What? I'm pretty sure that was like a real sand pit that they were in.
James is disconnected from reality.
I think they were just on a green screen and like pretending to be sucked under by quicksand?
No, I just think there was a bunch of fake, black, weird, kind of small pebbles. Quicksand.
While you're doing that, I want to ask Riley about all the plot holes they fix and how would you rate the fixes?
Yes, please. Thank
you. So we already know
I appreciate this.
You don't like the Leia training. Well, how do you feel about Luke Skywalker regretting everything he did in The Last Jedi?
Stupid.
Wait, can you explain that? What are you talking about?
So he comes back in The Rise of Skywalker, and he's basically like as if The Last Jedi never happened, and he's just like regular Jedi Master Luke Skywalker, and he doesn't have anything to say about whether the Jedi should continue or whether they should change in any way. It's just like, and he catches a lightsaber. She throws the lightsaber into the burning TIE fighter to be like, oh, I'm going to throw it away, and his ghostly hand comes out and catches it. And he's like, oh, Jedi's weapon should be treated with more respect.
Oh,
because in The Last Jedi, he threw it away.
Can he just wink, please? Wink at the camera.
I felt like he was held at gunpoint to be there. There was something so weird about the way he was smiling and like talking. Like, he felt like he knew it was bad. It felt super like unnatural.
Honestly, the weirdest, I agree. And did you notice that his hair looked weird?
Kind of crazy.
His hair looked weird.
Looked insane.
It was like L'Oreal kind of
Mariah Carey.
My guess is they went to like a cover art of some novel and they're like, we got to get it exactly like that cover art.
There was actually a few times in this movie where I was considering, is there wind where they are? Really? Because like a lot of times Rey will be standing there and it's a close up and her hair is flowing and they're like in a hangar.
Yeah, yeah.
Of like a Imperial.
Yeah, that was, well, I guess when they were in that hangar, they were in atmosphere. So maybe there's usually force fields that protect you from space. Yeah. So the force field looked like it was down. Maybe.
I thought there was a couple of space times. And I was just thinking, well, maybe there's a cross breeze there. It's a big space. Who knows?
In Star Wars, there very well might be wind in space. You never know. There's sound in space.
They talked about solar winds in this movie.
Ooh. Sure.
When going to Senegal, there's a...
Oh, my.
Riley, were you super happy to see Y-Wings uses not bombers in this film?
No.
Yeah, what was up with that?
They were fighters.
So let me tell you. Yeah. Man, guys, I saw like trailers and teasers for this movie and I was like, oh, they're bringing back B-Wings and Y-Wings and there's a Krillian Corvette and like, you know, fan service things. But the thing is that like, the thing that bothered me wasn't that there were no Y-Wings or B-Wings in the store, in the movie at all, in The Last Jedi. It was that for that purpose, it would have made more sense to use Y-Wings.
Sure.
But in this one, they're just like, okay, you wanted Y-Wings and B-Wings, here they are.
That Y-Wing...
But they don't serve any purpose other than just being regular fighters.
There's a scene where the Y-Wing is like going up to one of those big cannons that are on the bottom of the, what are they called, Imperial Star Destroyers? Is that what those things are called? It goes up to the big cannon to shoot it.
Zombie ones.
It's like zooming into it. It's like, pachoo, 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 with its like laser guns.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, when it gets close, it's going to drop a big bomb on this thing. And it didn't. It just flew off like it might as well have been X-Wing.
Yeah. Also, just... spinning off of that. let's make the cannons on the bottom of our Star Destroyers blow up the whole ship.
Yeah.
That's an engineering choice.
Yeah. Man, okay, so...
you just need to shoot it a little bit, and it blows up.
We're talking about things that we didn't... or that fans didn't like about this current series that they tried to fix. And one of the big things is that they did the Death Star again. And then this movie, instead of like... coming up with a different kind of conflict, they doubled down
on
like,
God,
how many Death Star cannons can we fit into this fucking movie?
Every ship is a Death Star.
huge problem with this movie in general is just like upping the scales of everything. Oh, you think you've seen a fleet before, but have you seen the Sith Dark Fleet or whatever it's called?
Yeah.
Where there's like 200,000 Star Destroyers? Oh, you've seen a Rebel fleet. Have you seen this giant other fleet that pops out of nowhere?
Yeah.
Oh, why were there so many freaking Sith in that thing?
Yeah.
Who are all those people?
Yeah.
How? What, the Sith have just been hiding out in the unknown regions?
And how are they making...
in this ice cube?
An unprecedented fleet using the resources of only one planet rather than... like, the First Order has the resources of its entire reach. Its whole,
right.
Its whole like, galactic exactly. empire. Like, every planet can just mine. These guys are on one planet.
Yeah.
Clandestinely building an unprecedented fleet.
This is honestly something that I don't think they addressed it.
No.
I guess it's like, if the canon universe for this Sith fleet existing out in the unknown regions is that Emperor Palpatine like had the foresight to like hide them out there.
No.
Like, I don't know. I actually haven't looked it up because I was trying to find the answer earlier and I couldn't find anything. I couldn't find an explanation for like where the hell they came from.
Do you know what isn't the solution to the First Order being too similar to Empire? Bringing back the Emperor. That is the opposite of fucking solution.
People don't like the First Order. We should bring back the... but they're not the Empire either. They're the Sith.
Yeah.
It's not even the Empire.
Are all those cultists Sith?
Like in that stadium?
Yeah, the thousands of people that are there. Are they
didn't
Sith?
Show? I was like, wait, who are these people?
I know. They need to give us a little bit.
Okay,
so I'm so upset.
Okay. What's the planet called again?
Hexagon.
They're in Exegol, okay?
Exegol.
First of all, it was cool. When they're walking, when like Kylo Ren or Rey later on is walking up and I don't know, the structure is some kind of floating cube that you walk between the earth and the ceiling and they're in between. You know what I'm talking about?
That
really suspended
cool.
cube thing? That was sick.
That was
I thought
a great
that was cool.
visual.
You gave this movie 8 out of 10.
You just wait,
bastard.
Pal.
What is wrong with you?
I thought that was cool. When they get in there, there's like, I guess, a stadium that eventually is populated by hooded Sith figures.
Yeah, normally they have games there and people.
There's like
combat.
Thousands of these figures. Are they clones? What are they? All they are is hoods as far as
who
you're
knows?
Concerned.
I'm sure
the
there's a canon
are.
Explanation, but it's going to be bad.
I can't remember. Do they all get killed on screen?
Yeah, they all get blown up
they
when
all
the
got
Sith
killed
blows up.
By the shockwave of her saying, I'm all the Jedi and crossing the lightsabers. That's how you beat the bad guys. Using one lightsaber? That's a Bush League rookie move, dude.
Yeah.
You need two lightsabers, cross them together.
My question is, I always assumed that when you're absorbing the lightning with your lightsaber, it's not actually the lightsaber. You're using the force to stop that lightning. You're controlling it. You're pulling it in.
I don't know. Because Anakin, doesn't Anakin Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan stops Count Dooku's lightning.
Yeah, and you can, but it's not just about the lightsaber. A normal person can't just hold a lightsaber and block the lightning. You need to use the force to like block it, do that. You don't think so?
Well, no, it's a bit of both, because remember Qui-Gon Jinn in episode 1? He's trying to get through a really big blast door, and then he concentrates, and his lightsaber gets stronger, and he gets able to cut through the door faster.
That's not what happens.
Yeah, it is. He goes, he leans into it, and he goes, and he cuts through faster.
I don't think that's him making his lightsaber stronger by concentrating.
What do you think he's doing?
He's just
putting his weight behind it. It's a massless sword.
Yeah, but that was titanium alloy, dude. You can't just. It takes time. It was just like he put his lightsaber in there and it took time for everything to melt.
And then he like looked at it harder.
Look,
that's
and he just fine, melts. James. It's
You're
fine.
Wrong about a Star Wars thing.
No, I'm not.
This is what's happening.
You can't make your lightsaber stronger by focusing with the force. Look, all I'm saying is that you don't need.
I think you can.
You don't need to have the force in that scenario of her like blocking the lightning to. It always made sense to me that when you, like the lightning's kind of attracted to the lightsaber and it just kind of like goes into it.
But that still makes it super stupid that with two, it's even better.
Well, with two, she could repel it.
She could push it
and
back.
And it's hit it back at him.
Yeah, that's dumb.
Like, I don't have a problem with the canon things that happened in that
it
scene.
Sounds like you do.
Well, no. I mean, she was blocking the lightsaber with one lightsaber, or blocking the lightning with one lightsaber, and then she brought the other one up and it reflected it. So I was like, okay, it makes it stronger or whatever. I don't know. That's the canon. Like,
sure.
I don't have a problem with that. I just have the problem with the scene, the writing, the acting, the direction. It was just so bad. And it's hard for me to explain exactly how it's bad without to someone who hasn't seen the movie.
Yeah.
But like, it was just so bad.
There's a lot of fundamental things.
You're such a troll.
I'm not joking,
You're
man.
You're trolling.
I was like, okay, it's her against the Emperor. That's cool. It's not clear to me whether it was, you know how she was able to get the strength to defeat the Emperor because she like did that callback to be like, I want all the Jedi to help me be here with me. And then suddenly you hear all these voices of past Jedi. You can hear Yoda. You can definitely hear Luke. Who else could you hear?
Obi-Wan.
Could you hear Mace Windu? Oh.
Yeah.
I think they were all basically
Samuel Jackson.
Basically every person who played a Jedi in the movies was in that scene.
That's sick. What is unclear to me though is that them just being like giving her like a cheerleading pep talk, like you can do it. Just focus.
I don't know.
No, or is she actually getting the power of all Jedi?
Oh no, for sure. In this movie, they get the cumulative power of all the Jedi / Sith right. that come before them.
That's
like the
only
Emperor
thing that explains
is
how
so powerful because he has all the power of every Sith, and she's so powerful, able to fight him because she has the power of every Jedi.
Let me just say, she wouldn't be able to fight him.
Let me just say that line of "I am all the Sith," "I am all the Jedi,"
"I am the Senate."
It seems. They should have said that. I am the Senate. She's like, what?
A Senate of Sith! I'm Pickle Rick!
This is the Sith Senate! It seemed like the whole concept of them having all of the Sith and all of the Jedi in them like came from like somebody like writing that line and thinking that was cool. Like, I'm all the Jedi. And they're like, oh, maybe we should have a mechanic where she's trying to connect with the Jedi that came before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, during the training... During the training
she tries
bit, that was just such a throwaway line. She's like, I can't do it, Leia. I can't connect to all the Jedi that came from before. Oh, I guess I'm going to do the training. Yeah. Like, wait, what? Connect to who? What? Why are you trying to do that?
Can we talk about how bad the training sequence is?
Wait, we're not done yet. So she invokes that to face this dude. He's shooting a big beam at her. She reflects the beam back at him. There's like sonically in the theater, there's a bunch of big boosh and like there's shit flying everywhere. A whole stadium blows up. She's like, yeah, Kamea! It's like pretty badass. I thought, okay, I turned my brain off for a lot of the movie to be like all the things like, why can't these ships fly away? And why do they have a single point of vulnerability? And all these other like things I take for granted in Star Wars now, I just accepted all of them.
See, I think,
and I accepted the repelling beam thing on the,
you did.
The lightsabers. And if you accept all that, it's
right.
like a good pop song.
No, exactly. See, but like that's the same thing with The Last Jedi. Sorry, do you want to go?
No, I really want to go. I think why we have a problem with that scene begins at the beginning of the movie. You can't explain it within that scene. Is that this movie utterly fails to ground you with any character.
Thank you. Yes.
There's no part of this movie that does a good job of tying you into what the characters are feeling. In a movie, generally near the beginning of the scene, they do a lot of close-ups, a lot of like looking at their eyes, so that you actually like subconsciously get tied to their journey, to what they're doing. And this movie utterly fails to do anything like
what?
That.
But there's tons of scenes with Rey.
I actually really wanted to ask you about that, because I was like, I don't really know the like technical reasons for why this feels so bad as a film, but like... I just know that it was bad. Like the pacing, I can talk about the pacing and the direction and the acting and the, I mean, the acting wasn't horrible, but the pacing and the direction and the writing for sure. But I think you just talked about it. Like
a little bit.
The shots, something was missing in the gravity of each scene.
But we get lots of like teenage angst from Rey, which is like, who am I?
But
that doesn't count?
That's not the same. It's not about like what she's doing. It's about how they're shooting it. And they just, in like Last Jedi and Force Awakens, they do a lot of like she's emoting or doing something that you can relate to, that you can feel, that you can engage with. Mm. They start this movie with her feeling before attaching you to her. And so like
What do you mean by that?
Where, like, she's already at, like, level 10 emotion before they've, like, tied you to her again. And, like, they need to do that in every movie where they, like, attach you to the feelings of a character. And they can't make you feel things that character's feeling before they attach you. And that's the same thing with Kylo Ren. Like, I think Kylo Ren is one of the best characters of this series. But they start showing you Kylo Ren doing stuff before they tie you to Kylo Ren. They're like, okay, Kylo Ren's doing this stuff. And then the terrible fight scene, the terrible things. And they don't actually make you... engage and feel what he's feeling on like a fundamental film level. And it's like,
but he got a new helmet.
Yeah.
James.
That helmet sucked, dude. Hey, I'm telling you, I did not like that helmet. When they were reforging it, like, wait, hold on, some Planet of the Apes dude is reforging this helmet. I was like, what is this close up on monkey lips?
That was just another one of the things that they just reversed for no other reason than to pander to people like me. Like, okay, I want to say this before we get any deeper, that I did not like The Last Jedi. I felt okay about The Force Awakens, worse about it after The Last Jedi. I thought that the potential was there for a good Star Wars movie that was like a good film on the level of The Last Jedi and that was as faithful to the canon and lore as, you know, fans like me expected it to be. And the reason that this movie... Like, this is what's so interesting. I'm seeing people like this movie on social media, online. I'm seeing the people who hated The Last Jedi like this movie. And I am just so baffled by it because I'm one of those people who like wanted fan service.
Yeah.
Like I wanted, if they did a movie where Luke, I'm not saying that this would have been a better movie, but if they did a movie where like Luke went and like trashed a bunch of AT-ATs, if it was done well, I would have loved it.
Yeah.
I would have been like, yeah, sick. That's awesome. I want to see space battles. I want to see cool Jedi flips and lightsaber stuff.
You say that, but nobody liked The Matrix Reloaded.
Well, but that's because it was a bad movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they, again, cool fan service action does not make a movie bad. That's not what made this movie bad. What made it bad was the pacing and direction and writing. It wasn't the fact that there were these fan service moments.
Yeah.
It was that, well, there were too many fan service moments. Too many.
You know what turned this movie from crappy to good for me? The moment it happened? When Rose was like, I can't come, guys. I got to stay at the base for this
whole
movie. I was like, yes.
What are you talking about?
I'm joking, but yeah, that character sucks. I was happy she didn't get to come along.
Well, no. I didn't have a problem with Rose. Like, I didn't like her line. It was like, oh, save what we love, blah, blah, blah. Yes.
Well, I like that she's into animals. That's cool.
What?
Huh?
In the previous movie, like, they go to the casino planet and she saves all the horses.
Right, sure. Space horses.
There's more space horses in this one.
Yeah, different space horses.
They're not using speeders.
I thought that was a travesty that they sidelined her like that. Because as much as I didn't really like her arc or the way that she ended up like ruining Finn's moment there at the end or whatever, as much as I didn't like that, that's not right. That's not right to sideline a character like that. And I think that was a huge problem with this movie as well, is J.J. Abrams pandering to fans so much that he refused to use anything from The Last Jedi. This movie could have taken off. Like, this movie could have started right after The Force Awakens, basically, with a couple tweaks. But, like, you could have gone from Force Awakens right to this movie.
Yeah, probably, especially with the opening crawl. Right from the opening crawl, I was like, what is this? This writing sucks. And, like, wait a second.
Oh, my, can we talk about that?
Yes.
That's when I knew it was going to be bad, to be completely honest with you.
The Emperor has sent a big broadcast signal across the galaxy thing. Listen to me. I am back.
The first lines, the dead speak.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Exclamation mark.
And then one of the paragraphs starts with, meanwhile.
Yeah.
I was like, what? Have they done that before?
Dude.
Have they used a meanwhile?
I feel like it probably would have helped this movie a lot if they started out the movie started with us not hearing the Palpatine bit that everyone has supposedly heard in the universe. It's like, oh, the voice of Palpatine echoed across the universe and everyone heard it and they're like, oh, what's that about? But like, what? You can't just put that happen off screen?
Yeah, instead of the music they play over the slow motion scene, they should have just played that. Yeah, it should have been that with Kylo Ren killing all these people, like showing a montage of him trying to get this stuff.
Why can't we see that happen?
Yeah.
And what form does that take?
Exactly.
Dial into AM 11:30.
It doesn't make any sense.
It's Sith FM.
Yeah, it's on Facebook Live.
Can we take a break from all the negativity, talk about the things we like about this movie?
Yes, we do need to do that.
Yeah. I divide it into like things I like and things I don't, and there's three things I loved about this movie.
Okay.
C-3PO. This is the best C-3PO has ever been in a movie.
I will agree.
I will partially agree.
I think he's like interesting, and I love, especially the first half, like when he's like, he decides that he's like, yeah, I need to be wiped so that we can do this.
That was cool. I they made him it. A real character for a bit there.
Yeah,
that was so cool.
Honestly, okay, if we're talking about things we liked, that whole planet, when they were on Kijimi, it wasn't as bad.
It's Kijiji.
Like, what?
It's Kijiji.
That's when I actually, seriously speaking, that's when I start to like the movie. Mm-hmm. When we see, we're like, oh, okay, I guess they're making Poe into Han Solo. And making him more cool.
Yeah, he was like,
and then he's dumb. Talking to Zori Bliss. Is that her name?
Yep,
Zori?
That's Zori? Correct. Zori Bliss.
She was so cool.
She was cool.
I loved that whole backstory. I was like, I love this implicated backstory. I don't want to see a spinoff of it.
No.
That will probably suck. Ugh. But if this is all I get, this is working.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
Yeah. Totally. They convey a lot of emotional information in a very short amount of time. And like, it makes sense. It's engaging. It's good.
The only thing about C-3PO that I thought was kind of weird was I'm like, wait, why is he going with them in the first place?
Yeah. That's always the thing.
Because
like,
it's like, Rey was like, I have to go alone. This is dangerous. I got to go figure it out. And they're like, no, we're coming with you. We're your friends.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, so Finn and Poe and Chewie makes a bit more sense. But like, what? C-3PO? You're bringing him on a combat mission?
I actually didn't. I actually have a note written down saying that even though he did make me laugh and even though they did give him a cool character moment, there were a few times where I was like, they should take that out. There's too much. There's a few too many C-3PO lines that didn't make me laugh.
Can we take this back into editing, guys?
But you know what? Maybe I'm supposed to just feel like they feel when they're like, shut up, C-3PO.
I also, there was actually a moment where Poe was like, can it, 3PO? I was like, everyone's so mean to 3PO all the time. Like, it made a bit, like, it made sense that Han Solo was mean to him because Han Solo was just kind of like, he's a rough guy. He's a smuggler. Like, it makes sense that he would just be like,
yeah, but so is Poe now.
Well, yeah, Poe was a spice runner.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, a few Dune references in this movie.
Oh, just... big Dune fan over here.
A spice runner. Also, there's a big sandworm. Also, the guy who plays Poe is the guy who plays Leto, one of the main characters in Dune in the upcoming...
Oscar Isaac?
Yeah, he plays a Dune character in the 2020 Dune movie. This is basically a Dune movie. It's going to be Dune, baby.
It might as well have been a Dune movie.
No. Okay, back to things we like.
The second thing I loved... was the little hacker dude.
Yeah,
Bubba
Anik or something.
He's like a little genius baby.
He's hilarious. I thought all of his jokes landed for me.
Yeah.
And like there's a callback to him at the end where he appears. I can't remember exactly. Yeah,
he disappears?
Yeah.
He literally just pops up.
I loved it.
It looked like bad effects or something. Yeah. It looked like a cardboard cutout.
I couldn't figure out if he was stop motion or like if he was practical.
I think
what.
He's animatronic. I just assumed, yeah.
I think he was mostly practical, yeah. I really liked him.
Yeah.
There were moments in this movie. Okay, wait, what else?
What's the third thing?
And the third thing I loved is that me and Riley got to share a moment after the movie. We left the theater and just were like bent over, doubled laughing. We couldn't stop laughing because of the guttural reaction we were having.
I was like having sort of a panic attack coming out of the theater. I was like, what did they do? What did they do? How did they... It's so bad.
Yeah. Man, I thought I was like, man, if these guys were sitting beside me right now, they're probably like high-fiving because this movie is so sweet.
Dude, crazy. We were laughing. Yeah. I would hear David laugh at something, and I would be like, he's right.
Because David was sitting in front of you.
I was behind. I stole the good seat. I don't know how I got it.
We're full in spoilers, right?
I was two rows back way over there, and that was because it was like we bought it when it was already sold out.
The when Ben dies...
Rip in pieces.
He deserved better. He brings Rey back to life. Rey is like, oh my gosh, let's kiss. They kiss.
Mm. Boo.
Then Ben keels over.
Yeah.
I went like this.
The girl beside you's hair moved.
Yeah. People laughed in the theater. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
People clapped too, though.
When
they kissed,
point?
They were like, yes!
Okay,
so
that's two different moments.
Our theater was split.
When they kissed, some people finally were like, finally! And I was like, literally out loud, boo.
Yeah.
Because I did not want that to happen. And then the second moment is when Ben dies, and some people were like, oh! And I was like, how did you
know? I thought they were going to be happy ever.
You didn't
ever.
See that coming?
Yeah. What do you think is going to happen? Yeah. Ben's going to get redeemed, and then he's going to come back to the resistance and be like, Resistance and be like, hey guys, it's me, Ben. Yeah. Sorry about that, but I'm good now. Papa doop boop boop.
Yeah.
That's the no. Yeah.
Very Romeo and Juliet-y kind of ending there.
And that's why I laughed because I was like, oh my gosh, it's so Romeo and Juliet.
It was such a mistake though. I loved like their relationship and I thought it was so deep and complex. The fact that they like had to make it romantic lowers the maturity and the angle of it. It cheapens it. It's so ridiculous.
Oh, this is just a guy gets the girl thing? Yeah. Like, yeah, pathetic.
It's not even guy and like not even that angle. Just the fact that it's romantic at all. Instead, it would have been so much more complex and mature if it was platonic.
That's what I mean. I mean that it was like it felt tacked on. You have an adventure movie and they go through all these crazy things and at the end they beat the bad guy. The guy gets the girl and blah blah blah. Yeah. Like
and it
would have
been more progressive
on.
Too. Yeah. It would have been like an evolution in our cinema language.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, oh, but a missed opportunity. Yeah, in our fan edit, we're just going to cut the kiss. They're going to smile at each other, and then he's going to die.
They should have touched foreheads. I would have loved a nice forehead touch.
Sure.
Just rest your heads on each other, and then let them die.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's like kind of goes down to the failure of the filmmaking in this movie, where they weren't able to think outside of the box. This movie is play by like the numbers every step of the way. I could predict everything that would happen like 30 minutes before it would happen, and I feel like nothing... Again, like in terms of trying to retcon all this stuff, they were so conscientious about not subverting our expectations that they made this like the most predictable movie I've ever seen.
Was the Palpatine twist supposed to make anyone go, oh my God, what?
Yeah.
No?
I thought the twists were pretty good. There was like probably two or three twists that I was like, oh, ooh.
I guess there is a certain segment of the population, like James, mm-hmm. who has not been kind of embedded in all of the discourse surrounding Star Wars, because her being a Palpatine.
I have a life.
Yep.
I'm just joking. No, but I haven't read, like, I don't read articles about the movie after.
Her being a Palpatine was, like, the main theory.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So it's like everyone expected that.
I didn't know that guy had a bloodline. Like, he's getting laid?
How is he still alive? Where has he been?
He's ancient.
Sith
he
power.
Fell down the thing and then the Death Star. I need to know why he is still alive, because we saw him die.
I am resilient.
Well, we didn't see him die. We see him fall down, and that's the last we hear of him.
We see him fall down. There's a big
flashlight. Talk about undercutting the original trilogy. That, to me, is way worse for undercutting what was accomplished in the original trilogy than
Let's
that.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Because the original, everything from the original trilogy, it means nothing now.
It's done. It's
it
over.
It means nothing. Luke finished his arc, but then he just went right back to... Or not right back to, but like he finished his arc, and instead of caring for the Jedi line, he just failed. Anakin didn't bring balance to the Force because he didn't end the Sith because Palpatine was always alive. Yeah. Do we think that this is a big problem for me, is that the end of this saga now has, okay, Rey's caring for the Skywalker line. How is this any different from the end of the original trilogy? Yeah. Like, we have a singular Jedi. The Sith are gone, and she's going to rebuild the order now, I guess?
Yeah.
It's the same ending, and that's why, to go back to The Last Jedi for 1 second, that's why The Last Jedi was so frustrating to me, because it undercut the accomplishments of, you know, Luke and Darth Vader doing what they did, and now we have just the exact same ending. Rey Skywalker is here, and she's going to start this Jedi Order, unless she has the same thing happen to her.
And The Last Jedi was almost interesting when they were going to destroy... like, kill the Jedi and burn the books and everything. But then they didn't burn the books, and now Rey has the books, yes, and she's actively using them.
This is the main problem for me with this whole trilogy, is the potential that was lost.
Mm-hmm.
They could have done something so interesting, yep, and we got a little bit of that, and I will say it now, we got a little bit of that in The Last Jedi, where it's like, this is something a little different. So much of it was the same, but... it was like hinting at something where it's like, we're going to change it up. Okay, cool. Give me a new paradigm. Give me, like, Grey Jedi, you know? And they completely failed at doing anything original, anything new.
Well, what about that whole thing where when they're, like, mind bridging? In this movie, they're like, swapping physical objects across mind space.
They do that in the last movie.
Did they do that in the last one?
Yeah, at the climax of...
Water.
Yeah, of changing it's the water that they what is it exactly? What happened?
She's on Octo, and a big spray of ocean spray comes up, and then he puts his hand on his face and is like, he takes water away.
Yep.
And so when that happened in The Last Jedi, I was like, oh, interesting. What? Mm-hmm. How does that work? But now seeing what that leads to, I'm like,
they took it to the nth degree.
I wish
in this
they
movie.
Never did it.
Well, and every time they do it in this movie, it feels so cheesy. And yeah, I get they're setting a payoff off. Or they're setting up a payoff for later.
Which
and
was sweet, actually.
It's
that
a pretty
a good
payoff.
Okay, so what was the first instance that happened in this movie?
Is when she has the festival beads.
Yep.
Right, and he snatches like a necklace off her.
And I was like, sure, remind us that you can do that. That's fine.
From a lore perspective, how the hell does that work?
I have no idea.
There's teleporting?
Honestly. Yeah, no.
The Force can teleport?
Yeah, now it can.
That's not... what?
Yeah, I thought water is okay because it's like... water is such a, like, not a singular physical object. It's much more like
ethereal.
I was able to, yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Because, like, maybe it, like,
it's like
coalesced.
Yeah,
out
totally.
Of
the Force can make water appear somewhere. Yeah. Sure, that's fine. But, like, Mardi Gras beads? No,
like,
I don't
think
so.
Their mind bridge is like a wormhole.
Yeah.
It's weird.
But then they're in both places at once. Like, maybe it's like a quantum thing.
Let's explain some Star Wars.
Well, it's really weird because he can't even see where she is. They have this whole discussion, and then at the end of it, after she grabs the helmet or whatever, then he's like, oh, she's in my quarters.
That's what I don't get. Does she see where he is, or is that an audience-only thing? Like, they don't establish that very clearly, because, like, I like those fights when they're cutting back between the two spots, and, like, they're using their bodies to kind of wipe the frame, and you're like, oh, I'm in on the planet, and then they, like, fight, and then the angle changes. Oh, they're in the ship, and it's, like, it's kind of cool, but they don't explain that they can't see each other. I just assume that they could, and Kylo Ren was just, like, playing with her, but then, yeah.
I've just been trying to figure out how the heck that would ever work.
No, it's pretty dumb. But if you accept it, then the way that they used it.
It's so dumb.
What?
What? You can't just accept things. Like, this is my problem with The Last Jedi, is that you can't just, if you shut your brain off and just, like, accept everything and don't think about how things are happening, then, yeah, you can enjoy any movie.
Riley, it's a kid's movie. Face it.
This one's not a kid's movie. The Emperor's scary in this.
He's always scary.
His design.
It's a kid's movie.
I don't know. His design, like, freaked me out.
Yeah.
It's a kid's movie. There's a little girl beside me.
This is definitely not an adult movie.
No.
Well, no.
So if you accept that they do this stupid thing, then the way they used it was good. When she, like, suddenly had a lightsaber later on, or no, she passed him the lightsaber when she was fighting Palpatine. She passes it to him so he doesn't get his ass kicked by his own knights, and he gets to slay them with his lightsaber. Was sick.
The knights, I agree. And okay, to talk about something that I liked about the movie real quick, because I haven't really talked about it yet. The lightsaber fights. I loved the lightsaber fights in this movie.
Way better than the prequels.
They were great. Way better than the prequels. And I feel like they brought things forward from the original trilogy. They added a bit more technique and stuff, but it wasn't so showboaty and flashy and whirly-twirly as the prequels.
It was, like, practical.
It felt like there was weight to them. There was interesting things happened in it. They used force powers in different ways that we haven't really seen before. I liked the lightsaber fights.
I thought the lightsaber fights were okay. But I feel like because I was so disconnected from what the characters were doing, I didn't feel anything. So it was fine. But nothing to me tops the Emperor room in Last Jedi. That is the best lightsaber fight of the current trilogy.
You know how I feel about that. It's not even a lightsaber fight, for one. No lightsabers touch in that movie, in that scene.
Whatever.
And second of all, the choreography is horrendous.
It's true.
It's pretty bad.
You guys are... Okay. People are saying that there's people in the background that aren't engaging in the fight, it's a terrible fight. That is totally what happens in every multiple person fight scene ever.
It's not just that. It's not just that there are people who don't engage, like, and wait for the other one. It's that they would come in, the red guards would come in, do like a swipe that completely misses, and then instead of attacking again or just waiting, they would spin around and go around the other guys.
Again, that's like a fight choreography thing. Like
that's what I'm saying. The choreography was bad.
I'll
give you that the emotional weight was there.
Yeah.
But the choreography was horrible.
Yeah, I feel like this... To me, I felt like the lightsaber fights were really stiff. Like, I felt like Kylo Ren was, like, reduced to being less mobile. Like, there was something about the way he moved. And I felt that especially any time it cut to slow-mo. The way he moves is awkward. It never feels like he's, like, a master lightsaber fighter. Mm.
What did you think about the one, like outside the Death Star, that watery dog fight?
That's definitely the best fight of the film.
Because there's a lot of emotion in that one.
I didn't feel anything.
I thought it was pretty cool because she's raging and being all dark sidey. It's like a role reversal.
Yeah.
She's having a tantrum trying to hit him.
But she can't.
And he...
Well, that was what was so interesting about that scene is that he beats her.
But he also, his goal is not to kill her there.
Right.
Which is really interesting.
Yeah. I really like that scene. What it leads into is...
Oh, no.
Horrible. Ben's...
The reappearance of Han Solo? Is that what you're talking about?
Flick of a switch... redemption. So he is about to wait. How does that happen again? He beats her,
but then Leia's like Ben distracts him,
and she Rey comes
uses
up
the opportunity to impale him with her lightsaber.
Right.
He goes down. She feels terrible. Uses some of her limited amount of force energy to heal him, and then he's like so in shock. She leaves. She steals his TIE fighter and is like, "I'm out of here." And he has a moment where he. Like, it's contemplating, and you can kind of tell he's thinking about his mom. And I think up to there, it's fine. I think it's okay that he's had this moment with Leia, mm-hmm. and that he's, like, kind of like, oh, man, like, she saved me, but, like, I don't know. Like, she's going dark side. Like, there's a lot of complexity there. He throws his lightsaber, and when he turns around, or before he turns around, you hear the voice of Han Solo.
I would have preferred it
weird.
If we didn't see
the
actor.
Why?
If we just hear Harrison Ford's voice, I would like that more than seeing him, I think. But actually, as much as I kind of hated Han in Force Awakens, I didn't mind this scene.
I wouldn't have minded it if I wasn't like so aware that it was yet another just pandering to fans moment.
Yep.
I think this is definitely the problem is that in the context of The Last Jedi, all of these fan service pandering moments in this movie seem way worse because you know that they're only putting it in there to be like, please, wait, don't go. Wait, Star Wars, though. Remember Star Wars, guys?
Yeah.
Oh, it was so good. Remember all those good parts? We're going to put them in this movie. Please.
This really harkens back to the question we asked last episode, which was, can this movie be good? is it possible? And I feel walking out of the theater that they did, I think they did the line of best fit. I think they did the best that they possibly could as a Hollywood movie.
They did too much.
They tried to fix the old one. Yeah. They tried to have a nice bow on this one.
I agree with Riley.
I would have accepted a few fan service moments. Like the Holdo maneuver bit where they're like, why don't we just pull the Holdo maneuver? It's like, come on, that's one in a million.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, that makes sense. I'm glad that they put that in, you know, because that explains that, all right, when Holdo did the Holdo maneuver, it wasn't like people had known about that, or maybe they hadn't known about it, but they know that the reason why it worked is because there were these very specific instances in which a Holdo maneuver can work. So I'm like, okay, sweet, thank you. But
nerd boner.
Yeah, ooh, I like that. But there was one of those every like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's just too much.
Well, this movie has too much on its plate. I think it's interesting that you interpreted that as like a good job of like, yeah, James interpreted it as like it did a good job resolving things but setting up its own thing. I feel like it's a movie so obsessed with erasing The Last Jedi that it just forgot to do its own thing.
And
it's so obsessed with forgetting everything that happens in The Last Jedi that now it has this responsibility of completely starting from zero. Like, it doesn't feel like they're building off anything. Like, they have to start a new villain. They have to, like, do this. And, like, they have no momentum by the choices they've made. And I think this movie really suffers
for it. Yeah,
it
really felt like they focus grouped a lot of shit. And we're like, well, it looks like people don't like Rose. So let's just leave her on
this
planet.
Yeah, right?
And, Hux is really trending poorly. Let's sideline him. Although I didn't see him being the spy. That was like, that makes sense.
Oh, I hated that storyline. I thought it was such a waste of my time. Like, either have Hux be the ultimate Sith or Empire person and have him, like, be, like, interesting, or, like, don't. Like, having this other Empire guy now be the cult servant.
The Legion General, I have him on my list of things I like.
A Legion General Pride?
I like that guy.
I don't. It's such a waste of my time.
Because I hated the limp Hux. And then sweet, we have a guy that's way more like Grand Matarkin.
But that's exactly what they wanted you to think. Like, they're like, people
focus grouped me.
Yeah, they did. I liked the twist of him being the spy. I was kind of like, okay. That was like one of the few moments in the movie where I was like,
oh really? What? Oh, no. I knew it was him for sure. No, but I knew it was him for sure.
It totally fits his character, though, right?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, damn it. David, Kylo choked me.
You can always say that you predict things after, though.
No, not The Last Jedi. Like, when Luke appears on this planet and, like, has this incredible encounter with AT-ATs and Kylo Ren, and it turns out he was, like, the ultimate Jedi and didn't even, like, show up and fight, I'm like, I had no idea that's happening.
So, actually, I did see that coming.
That was one of the few moments in the movie where I was like, oh, nice, when he was the spy. Because I was kind of like, oh, that's a twist. Like, that actually, like, people weren't asking for that, right? So it didn't feel like fan service, and it felt like a real twist. So I was like, okay. But then when they're like, wait, why are you helping us? And he's like, I don't care if you win. I just want Kylo Ren to lose.
Yeah.
Like, okay, thanks for telling me. See you later. It was just so on the nose. It was just like, this is why I turned.
Yeah.
In one sentence. Okay. I guess you're not like a real character. You're just a plot device.
Yep.
I have some random questions that I would like you nerds to answer for me. Was Finn always force sensitive, or did they just like stuff that into this movie?
Was another fan service thing. People wanted him to be force sensitive.
Yeah, I think because they were trying to explain stuff that happened in The Force Awakens with him having some force sensitivity. It's not like inconceivable that he could be force sensitive, but like to a much lesser degree than Rey, and like kind of is discovering it as he goes, but... It did feel forced.
I wonder. Yeah,
it seemed to me like a lot of setup for a potential spinoff or future movies.
I hope not.
Because they've said that these characters are not appearing again.
Well, I couldn't figure it out then because there's this new character, the one who basically replaces Rose. The other
Dominic Monaghan.
The one who defected, the other stormtrooper who defected, and he's like riding horses with her and stuff.
Okay. Oh, Janna.
She was okay.
And she sits down beside Lando, and Lando's like, where are you from?
That was so
and she's
dumb.
Like, I don't know. And he's like, forgot why don't we find out?
What
I'm
was
like,
that?
Hold on. There's only two explanations. Either he's being creepy Lando and like trying to flirt with her, and it's really creepy.
It's
and
really
I just don't
gross.
See that happening in a 2019 movie that's as progressive
that's
and PC as this
happening.
One.
No.
Or two, they're setting it up to be like, yeah, there's going to be a series, and we're going to find out more about her.
I hope not.
That was so dumb. That was just like unnecessary too, and I think so many of the fan service moments were just unnecessary.
Yeah,
like who wanted that? Who? Oh, and she's Lando's guys.
Maybe she's what Lando's what?
Lando's daughter.
Oh, was that a thing?
I think that was the implication there.
Really?
Well, what else would it be?
I wondered that too because I could totally see that being the interpretation, but like.
No. Well, Lando has many, many daughters. Lando's seed is spread.
What reason do they have to talk to each other?
Yeah.
What reason do we have to see that moment at all?
What reason does Lando have to be in this movie?
Well,
yes, let's talk about that. Also, look, I loved his performance in Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, so good.
He's great. And in Return of the Jedi,
sure,
he forgot how to act because he was horrible in this movie.
Yeah, he wasn't very good.
He was so bad.
And it was one of those things like, okay, we're running out of original trilogy actors to put in these movies. We got to go a little bit deeper and find someone that people don't like as much.
Here's a hot take. I think that Chewie looks lame in 2019.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's like, that was like the best monkey costume you guys had back in the 70s. But like today, it looks pretty bad.
One
more fan service real quick. You guys probably didn't notice this. Wedge Antilles.
I did
know
notice
who
that
is?
Yeah.
You noticed?
That one close up in the X-Wing when he comes in?
He was in the Millennium Falcon.
Oh, Millennium Falcon. Oh, okay.
Yeah. That guy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Man.
It was literally like half a second.
Yeah.
And what
why'd we bring him in for that?
What did
for
he do?
You.
Good flying, Lando. Something like that.
Yeah. My
this is fun.
Absolute favorite moment of this entire movie for the utmost wrong reasons is when Kylo Ren and Rey are in the desert and they're both forced pulling the ship that they think that Chewie is captured on. And Rey loses control and uses lightning and blows up the ship. And it's this big, big reveal moment. But the cutting right before the explosion is the closest to a meme I've ever seen in a movie. It is so weird. Like, yeah. It's so comedic the way they're cutting back and zooming in. Like, yeah.
Oh,
it felt so off to me. Like, yeah, next time you watch it, check it out.
I usually notice editing and cuts more than I think most people do, but I did not notice.
Yeah, there
that.
Was something super off. Like, it's funny. It's hilarious. They're going to make a meme out of that scene.
I was into that moment,
sure.
Though. Actually, that's another one of the data points that started to become more and more clustered, where I was going from this movie sucks to this is interesting. When she shot the lightning out of her hands, I was like, sick. Yeah, also, because I actually genuinely thought that Chewie died there, and I was like, yes.
Oh, no. Okay. I knew he wasn't
I was like,
dead.
Oh,
there was no way.
If they actually just killed him and she killed him with force lightning, that
no
is cool.
Disney was looking at their clipboard and like, we only have a certain amount of characters left that we can kill. And they're like, oh, we can't kill him yet. Okay,
at
we'll
that
keep
point,
him alive.
At that point in the movie, though, I still kind of had hope for it.
Mm.
So I was like, oh, maybe they did kill Chewie, you know? And I was also shocked. I also had a positive reaction to that moment because it felt real. Her acting in that scene was really great.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, Chewie! Like, she like was like genuinely distraught.
Mm-hmm.
My problem with that scene, though, is that they force grabbed a ship. Like, no. I know that we've seen like Luke and Yoda lift the X-Wing on Dagobah, but it was not powered. This ship was taking off. It was thrusting to leave atmosphere.
They've done that in video games.
You never played The Force Unleashed?
Yeah. They bring down
a
starship.
I know. And
that's
well,
not
Force
canon.
Unleashed is not canon
anymore.
Yeah,
it's anymore. Not canon.
But like, and this is my whole problem, I think, with, not my whole problem, but this is another huge problem that I have with the sequel trilogy, is the idea that Rey and I guess Kylo are like super powered in the Force compared to regular Jedi, because there's no Jedi and Sith left in the galaxy or whatever, so they have all the Force power.
Mm-hmm.
It just leads to ridiculous moments like this where, wait, so people can just snatch ships? Like, you can just Force grab ships even though they have like huge... Do you have a bug on your shoulder? Is that what that is?
Where do you look? Oh, wow. Yeah, it is. Oh, yeah, that's a bug, David. Oh, it's so close to your... You could probably hit it with your tongue.
From a canon perspective, and this shows that I'm still a real Star Wars fan because I'm having a crisis of identity here. From a lore perspective, people shouldn't be able to just grab ships that are like thrusting at full power to get out of atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
That was stupid. What was cool was that they were both straining so hard to like wrest control of the ship from each other that she was like,
she basically sharded.
Yeah. She sharded out some lightning.
That is funny.
And then the lightning, that again, but then it went right back because I thought that moment was cool, but then it went right back because I was like, wait, Force lightning doesn't just blow up ships. It sliced through it like it was a lightsaber. That's not what Force lightning does. It's lightning.
Yeah.
That doesn't slice things in half?
I have a question for both of you. Did this movie feel more or less like Star Wars 2 than The Last Jedi?
It felt less like Star Wars, and that hurts me to say. It hurts me
to say. Despite all the fan,
because
all the familiar locales.
Guys, this has been emotional for me. I saw Force Awakens, I was like, Star Wars is back. It wasn't perfect, but it was Star Wars. Great, it's back. Last Jedi came out, I was like, that was a good movie, but it wasn't a good Star Wars movie. But at least it was a good movie, and I'm mad at it, and I don't like it, but I'm going to keep my mind open for episode 9. This movie, and I had an idea in my mind of the potential that episode 9 could reach. Like, The Last Jedi was at a certain quality level that I wasn't happy with, but it was still like, you know, it was a Star Wars, it was a good movie. The spectrum of quality that I was anticipating for episode 9, this movie is off the charts.
Yeah.
To the right.
To the bad side.
The dogs.
Yes. I did not know that in 2019, after we got the prequels, I thought we had learned, you know? I thought that in 2019 we had the capacity to make a good Star Wars movie again that makes everyone happy. I was wrong. It was horrible in a way that is hard to describe. We could talk about this for days, and I would still have stuff to say.
Here's a random thing. I felt like everyone in the theater felt this. You see this one character, I think, 3 times in the movie. One of the times is right at the beginning of the Millennium Falcon. I can't remember the character's name. Oh. It's like a 2-syllable, like, bleep flop is here. And it's like this big worm thing.
Oh, yeah.
And they hug him.
That was funny.
It's like, oh, and so-and-so.
I was like, ah, what the?
It's basically this giant worm with, like, big eyes and has, like, I think the functions of a droid. Just like a little helper alien.
No, what? He's...
Who is that?
He's a person. He's an alien.
Okay.
What do you mean?
It was such a weird character. Like, they never introduced him. He's just in the background a couple times. You know what it felt like to me, honestly? Season 2 of Rick and Morty, total Rickall, when they're like, in that house, and there's just like a parasite is like pretending to be a person, and they all think it's a person, but it's not.
And then all these like fake characters start showing up.
That is exactly what that character was.
It's me.
Like,
what the Gloop Glop.
I think that dude, Gloop Glop or whatever
we
his
love
name
Gloop Glop.
Is. Yeah, Gloop Glop.
Don't you remember meeting Gloop Glop?
I think that he was a casualty of the pacing.
Yeah.
We talked about it a little bit, but this movie moved at breakneck speed and didn't, like, it slowed down a little bit sometimes, but then it just picked right back up again. And I was, like, for the first, like, quarter to a third of the movie, I was waiting for the moment at which it would, like, slow down, and then we're like, okay, now this is the real movie. But it never came. It just was still so fast, the light speed skipping.
Yeah, what?
Yeah, what was that?
It was so incoherent and everything moved too fast. Even
was
like,
that canon? Because in The Last Jedi, there's that whole thing of like, oh, they can track us through light speed. And
well,
that was a whole new thing.
Not only that, but like light speed skipping seems to now, and this is the other thing about The Last Jedi, is like it established things like the Holden maneuver. So I'm like, okay, now we've established these things. Let's not pretend that The Last Jedi never happened. Let's move forward with these new established rules.
Yeah.
So the Holden maneuver establishes that she was quite a ways away from those ships, so she had to like maybe get up to speed before she enters hyperspace, and that's why she was able to physically impact them. But when they light speed skip, they're just going straight through things.
Yeah, that's weird.
So you're intangible right away when you go into hyperspace? Like he killed the last few TIE fighters by like heading towards that big monster's mouth, and then just before he gets in the mouth, he goes to light speed.
Yeah.
He goes through the monster's mouth in hyperspace, so I guess he doesn't impact it, but the lightsaber, the TIE fighters are too slow, and they crash.
Yeah.
That completely breaks
the
lore.
Yeah.
So what?
If you're going to break the lore, at least be a good movie.
I know!
GK, my other question is...
And that, and the pacing.
Yeah,
so there's... It didn't help the pacing. Yeah. Anyways, continue.
Do you think that people will like The Last Jedi more because of this movie?
I do.
I was thinking about that. When you look back like 20 years from now, like, do people love The Empire Strikes Back? I guess they loved all of them. But when you look back in the future, is The Last Jedi going to be the good one by consensus?
Yeah, what's the best movie of this trilogy?
See, guys, this is why I've been having such a crisis of identity because...
Did you sleep last night?
Because this movie has made me not care about Star Wars, and that is such a sad thing to say. Like, you guys know, I just put up a video ranting about The Last Jedi for 24 minutes on my personal channel. I'm not gonna do that again. I don't know if I'm gonna, I might. I might. But I don't know if I'm gonna feel the way that I have felt about Star Wars going forward, because this movie was so bad and just made a mockery of everything that Star Wars could have been. Not that it is, because Star Wars has always been a fun, don't think about it too seriously, kind of, you know, space romp, but this movie could have been something better.
You know what's funny is I was kind of the opposite. When I saw Infinity War, and by the way, I saw it way late. Like, I saw it days before Endgame came out. When I saw Infinity War, I was like, this is sick. Me and my friends don't really watch these Marvel movies, but I'm going to text them right now and tell them the MCU is better than new Star Wars. This is sick. Mm. 2 days later, I watch Endgame. I'm like, I didn't like Endgame. I watch this movie.
You're so weird, dude.
And I'm like, this is better than Endgame. Star Wars is back, baby.
Oh, my God.
You're so weird,
I like
James.
I like it better than
Endgame.
What
is your brain even?
Interesting.
Endgame, issues.
Endgame was not as good as Infinity War, but it was still very shot. Good. And as a end to the series, it was incredibly satisfying.
Yep. Ends are hard.
So wait, if The Last Jedi was as good as Infinity War, then that would make you see all the fan service in this movie differently, and you would like this movie as much as you like Infinity War.
You need
War.
To say that again, because I'm confused.
You earlier on this podcast, you said that there's a lot of fan service
in The Rise of Skywalker.
But you didn't like it in light of hating the last movie.
No, I didn't like it because it was a horrible movie.
Okay, that's not what you if said. There was,
no, that is what I said. This movie breaks down for me into like these constituent parts. Way too much fan service. Horrible direction, writing, pacing.
And the retconning.
And the horrible retconning of The Last Jedi. But, okay, maybe I should have clarified that. I liked some of the fan service, and I would have liked some fan service. But I don't like a bucket of fan service thrown at my face. Mm. It was like
it's nonstop.
You're like pasta? Here's some pasta for you. Boom. Right in the face.
Right in the kisser.
Yeah.
Did you like that new droid, though?
I'd like some spaghetti.
You
like spaghetti? Boom. Dio? Dio was fun.
You like him?
There were parts of the movie I liked. There weren't enough parts that I liked to overpower the just
like that whole
sucky
fleet.
Quality of the movie as a piece of cinema.
Here's another thing that sucked. They're dying. Okay, they're all the pilots, like Poe and everyone, they're trying to fight this huge armada, and which, by the way, would have just decimated them so fast, but they survive for a while. And then when their numbers are dwindling, they're like, look, and basically all of these different ships, just people from around the galaxy have showed up.
Just people.
And they all showed up at this one moment instead of, like, okay, they would have trickled in, all right? They would have trickled in.
I mean, I knew that moment was coming. That's, like, a pretty predictable moment of this movie.
It's like Gandalf the White.
Yeah, but less. Gandalf, like, there's not as much to be like he's coming. Like, there's that scene before, and, like, you're like, oh, what's this mysterious what hooded figure? But this is, like, they've set up, like, four times, like, If we call them, they will come. And, like, they call, and, like, it gets worse and worse. They keep losing and losing. What? And we know that's coming. But I felt like I would feel something when there is that shot of seeing all the ships. I was dead on the inside at that point. Nothing.
I felt nothing. Why did they show up now? Why didn't they show up before?
This is what I'm saying. Yeah. They all just, like, hey, at your darkest hour, we're all here. We're all here at the same time.
Yeah.
It's very convenient.
And it all happened very fast, too. Like, they learned that. Wait, what was the inciting incident again? Like, how did they? What kind of kicked off the whole mission of, like, all right, we got to go to Exegol and blah blah blah. Like, how did they know about
the Millennium Falcon? Finds the goes to the planet, gets the information about the spy in the Empire, and the Empire talks about how the Emperor is back on this at this place.
It's because Ren broadcast to everybody the way to Exegol, so that's like public
Rey,
information. What did I say?
You said Ren.
Whatever.
Well, that's Ray. Like that's for what happens at the end. That's how they know how to get to Exegol.
That's how like everyone in the galaxy knows how to get there, though.
You're a real Raylo shipper.
Oh.
Yeah.
You don't know about
Raylo
these terms.
Worshipper?
Shipper. Relationshipper.
Shipper. Okay.
You're showing your...
You are on the internet in places
so online,
I've never been.
Dude. I'm extremely online.
Extremely online. So, are we almost done here? You guys got more to say?
I want to know, what's your absolute favorite moment of this trilogy?
Trilogy?
Yeah.
I already told you guys when Rose is like, I can't go. Yes.
I think my favorite moment is Luke facing off against Kylo Ren and the AT-ATs in Last Jedi. I think there's like, it's such a cool moment, and it's clever use of like some of the things we know about the Force. It's showing us more, but it's also like the ultimate Jedi moment of like conquering through nonviolence. And I think no other Star Wars movie has succeeded in showing Jedi's winning through nonviolence.
That's
so
cool.
That's my favorite.
That's cool.
If I was forced with a gun to my head to pick a moment, I might pick the same moment. But I would also like this opportunity to say that we could have had such a cool, better storyline with like Luke and a Jedi Academy. He could still have like struggled with things and failed at like a student, but like he doesn't completely lose hope. And then the story is about getting that student back and like taking on a larger threat. Like there are so many things we could have done. Also, Disney Plus spinoff of like Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Style. Whoa. Harry Potter style well, Jedi coming. Academy that's show. Coming. Well, yeah, I guess so. And like Master Rey will be the teacher.
Well, I think
that would have been so cool. Anyways, there's so many cool things that we could have got that we did not get, and I am just so sad.
Oh, I have one more thing to bitch about.
Wait, favorite part first.
I told you. I don't know.
Oh, you already told us.
There's actually one little funny part when when Rey kind of transmits his lightsaber to Kylo, and when he's surrounded by his knights, and then he does that little gesture. Like,
yeah, he's like,
He's like, no, he's like,
he has like a little shrug.
I got, okay. Now it's,
who's got the lightsaber?
I thought that, I was like,
watch out, Knights of Ren.
It's kind of,
they suck. They're lame.
It's kind of like what?
They were like ring wraiths, kind
of. Sort of. They never built them out. They weren't ever awesome fighters. It was
that's true.
They were just lame.
Who are they? What?
You don't need to know anything.
Why did they bring them back if they weren't going to say anything about where the hell they came from?
There was another Lord of the Rings vibe earlier with Rey. She was like, give it to me.
Yeah. When she meets Dark Rey with a weird swiveling double-bladed lightsaber. Why does she have that? Why does the dark version of her have this like weird, very specific lightsaber design?
That we've never seen, yeah.
Yeah, there was like, that was very much
a
Lord of the
Rings.
That
was a red herring in the trailer. That's...
I know. And that's why it felt that felt so empty, because I know that they just put that to have
that
a moment
in
the trailer.
Yeah, that's such bullshit. That exists just to be like her.
And when she's like, then Dark Rey kind of goes like, rah, like Bilbo. Like Bilbo when he
and her
like
teeth
out.
Show and there's all fangs.
Yeah, it was like straight up out of Lord of the Rings. I was like, what?
I was frankly disappointed in the final duel with Palpatine that only Rey faced him to defeat him. I really thought that that Kylo and Rey were going to have to do it together. And I thought that was like the whole point of the series.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think what I was going to say there is that Ben would have been, I think it would have been so much better if Ben only turned at the last, like Darth Vader. I know that probably would have been just like copying, but like, I don't want to see Ben. I don't want to see like redeemed Ben going around and being funny. Like when he jumped down into Exegol or whatever, he's like,
chain.
And he's like, ow. And it's like, I guess Ben's funny now. Yeah. And then he gets the lightsaber, and that little shrug moment that you're talking about is like, well, I got the lightsaber.
He would have done that shrug thing if he was still Kylo, I think.
No.
Yeah, it was
We don't see any...
Yeah.
Kylo as a character up to this point has been completely monotone. Like, he's been completely like, I'm a bad guy, and I do bad things. And I'm struggling with it, but I'm really bad. I just want to be bad. And then we see this, like, he's like, well, I guess I got the lightsaber.
I hated that chain thing. I couldn't believe anyone in the audience laughed at that.
That was weird.
Yeah, that was so dumb.
I liked the Emperor connected to that big arm thing. I was like, yeah, sweet.
He's GLaDOS like, from Portal.
That's exactly what I thought, too. I didn't hate that visual. I think the design of the Emperor was okay. Although he looks younger before he gets the Force powers. When he like gets the Force, sucks it out of Kylo Ren and Rey, he seems to get older. Like, he doesn't seem to get younger. He gets like he goes from white eyes to yellow eyes, but he starts to get like the bumps back on his forehead, and then he goes back to kind of the Emperor design we know.
That was weird.
But before, he just looks like Ian McDermott, and
That was definitely weird for them to like not do anything to his face. I mean, they did stuff to his face, obviously, but like, he didn't have all the crazy wrinkles and folds that he had before. So it's like, how did he get younger?
Yeah. When he was first introduced, the lighting on his face was kind of strobing. Mm-hmm. Was his face like facing this way, then facing that way? Visual thing happening?
I think that was just lighting.
In some scenes, I think they do a little bit of like cutting through the strobing, but most of the time it's just the strobing kind of disorienting
you. You know what they should have
This movie
had.
Needed an epilepsy warning.
They
there
did.
Was a lot of strobing
Holy
in this
crap.
Movie.
I was surprised. I was like, why is there so much? Can I just say about the Palpatine thing? He should have been another Snoke body.
A clone? Oh, yeah. Like in a Snoke form.
Like, I would have been fine. Well, not fine, but like, I don't like how they explained Snoke this way, that he was just like, I guess he was just a...
Avatar?
I made him.
Well, but wait. He said he made Snoke.
Yeah.
He wasn't Snoke. So why was he making a bunch of Snokes? What was the point of that?
Well, to throw people off. He wants to have like his direct fingers in things.
To throw
but not
people off?
Have people know
no,
that
I
he's the Emperor.
I think he tried to establish the Sith. He didn't really do a good job, but it was...
So, like, what it should have been is that, okay, Palpatine was dead. what happens in the canon or in the comics, which I recently looked it up, and when you said in the other podcast, I looked it up and was like, oh yeah, George Lucas never thought the books, the EU was not canon to George Lucas.
Yep.
But again,
it's okay.
I don't respect the opinion of George Lucas anymore. in the EU, Palpatine dies, and then his spirit is still hanging around because Force spirits exist. So then his followers made clones, and he inhabited the clones.
Mm-hmm.
That would have made more sense, at least, and it would have been interesting to be like, okay, we meet the Emperor, quote unquote, and it's like he looks like Snoke.
Yeah.
Because they're not able to clone properly. Yeah,
I think the exact same thing. I think this movie should have started out with no Emperor. It's just Snoke.
Yes.
And he's like, oh, he's back. And he's like, I'm unkillable. You can't kill me. Yeah. I am the dark side.
Yeah.
And you're like, ooh, this is scary. And you realize that, like, oh, it's still the spirit of the Emperor through him. And it doesn't have to be like a formed spirit of with the personality of the Emperor. But it's like, yes, the evil powers that were in him still flow.
Well, yeah, that's
I like
way
the
to do
logic
it,
of that. But let's face it, it's more powerful. And I personally want to see a movie more if it has this familiar looking. If it has McDermott,
maybe I'm taking crazy
pills.
I want
to see the hood. I want to hear him say "Strike me down" five times,
five more times, please. I know that there are a lot of like hardcore Star Wars fans that are going to be like, "Oh, you didn't like The Last Jedi? I thought I was you." But for me, being like a hardcore Star Wars fan and not liking The Last Jedi, when they announced that Palpatine was coming back, I was just like, "What? Why?" Because as soon as they announced that, I was like. That just ruins the original trilogy. So, there was nothing for me. There was nothing for me in this movie.
It was there was something in it for Chewie.
Oh you got your medal, finally.
That was the last straw.
That was the last freaking straw.
Yeah.
So, at the end of The New Hope, everyone's getting medals for their heroism.
Han Solo and Luke Skywalker and Chewbacca walk up to the stage where Leia's there. They both get medals. The two humans get medals. Chewbacca does not get a medal, so it's been a thing since Star Wars
and
started.
And Lucas made a statement about it.
Oh, he can't.
Did you see the statement?
What?
Lucas made a statement previously that was like, oh, well, Wookiees, they don't care about things like that.
Right.
They have their own ceremonies. And actually, what you don't see is after that whole group of people, the whole rebel went to Kashyyyk and they had their own ceremony there. It was a great honor.
Who said this?
Lucas said this.
Oh, George Lucas.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
They went to Kashyyyk and it was a great honor for the entire Wookiee race and they had their own ceremonies. He just doesn't care about these frivolous human-like medals.
Yeah,
so he's actually not miffed.
That's dumb.
That's made up bullshit.
That's really dumb.
It doesn't even make logical sense if you accept it because it's like, the humans would still just give you a medal.
Yeah, they'd still try to give him a medal, and
just
then he's
to
like,
be polite.
So like,
if they're Canadian in space, they would.
Yeah, hey. It's just that was racism. Straight up.
My final question, James: what's your real score?
Yeah, what's your real score?
What's your
James?
Real score?
I'm not messing with you guys.
An 8? You think it's better than Knives Out? You think it's like,
what did I give Knives Out?
Like a 7?
Oh yeah. Well,
you think it's better than Knives Out?
Well, I don't think it's worse than Knives Out. If anything, it's the same. I enjoyed watching this movie, except for the first like half an hour. I was like, meh. But then it picked up.
I don't think I enjoyed the movie for more than like 10 seconds at a time.
Yeah, there's a couple good jokes.
Yeah.
No, there's parts like when she had those two lightsabers up and then like the Emperor's skin was peeling off his face. I was like, that's fucking badass.
Yeah.
This is good.
I
was drunk.
And this is the this is the other problem is that there were moments that maybe I would have liked. But everything else just soured it.
You're too butthurt.
No, like I can. Yes, I am. But I can.
He can't
agree
even sit on his butt.
I can.
He's hovering. He's hovering in the chair.
It hurts. I could agree with you that there are these points that are cool in the movie, but I did not enjoy them while I was watching it because the movie sucks.
All right,
that's it.
I'm serious. I'll downgrade it a bit here. 7.5. It was all right. It's still my favorite Star Wars of the series here.
Which gives us an average between the three of us of don't go see it.
This is such an interesting case study of like how people can interpret movies completely differently. Mm-hmm. Because there are people like me who hated The Last Jedi and loved this movie. And I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I mean, well, that's actually explained by people just, okay, I don't want to insult anyone, but.
Well, thanks for tuning in, guys. We don't have to talk about Star Wars until they release another shitty spinoff.
Yeah.
And this closes
maybe we'll
up
do
the decade.
One, maybe we'll do one on The Mandalorian once it ends.
Yeah,
I don't want to. It's too boring.
I might just not. I might, you know, I don't know. I might just be out of Star Wars.
The Mandasnorian.
It might just be over for
me. Dude, forget Star Wars. It was so a 2010s phenomenon. It's all about Dune now. Dune trilogy. Dune is the next sci-fi saga of this decade.
Dune. No. Okay.
Dune it.
Doing it. All right. That's it, right?
Thank you.
We're done.
Bye-bye.
Love you.
Oh, if you like this podcast, you should rate it.
Oh, yeah.
Because that really helps. And if you want to talk to us directly, hit us up on Twitter. We have a Twitter account. It's at Carpool Critics. For some reason you want to email us, just a thing I have to check. It's probably going to be for nothing. The email is carpoolcriticspodcast@gmail.com.